怀昆达之音服务源于聆听，亲爱的奉献者们，大家早上好。今天是2020年5月27日，星期三。我们再次荣幸的邀请到了来了上跑步为我们继续讲解永恒的璀璨念经，是璀璨念是阿尔特瑞塔 ，Hare Krishna。
加耶加耶是璀璨的，加耶你天能的。
Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda
Jai Dvaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jai Dvaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda
Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda
Jai Dvaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jai Dvaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda
Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda
Jai Dvaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jai Dvaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Rama Rama Hare Hare
Reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila of Devotional Service.
今天我们继续来阅读永恒的璀璨念经，Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 中篇逍遥的第22章，奉爱服务的程序。
Broadcasting this morning from Shrimayapodam.
现在是在 Shrimayapodam 向大家直播。
And we continue from last week's topic of the process of devotional service.
我们继续上周的话题，也就是有关奉爱服务的程序。
So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is taking a progressive approach.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 正在采用一种循序渐进的方式。
In describing what happens to different devotees who approach Krishna with different motivations.
他描述的是带着不同的心态的奉献者，当他们试图接近 Krishna 的时候发生了些什么。
Because not everybody comes to Krishna consciousness with pure motives.
因为并不是所有的奉献者都是带着非常纯粹的动机来走进奉爱服务的。
Not everyone is a pure devotee from the first day.
也不是所有的奉献者从第一天开始都是纯粹的。
Even if one has accumulated many pious activities, there is still a lot of anarthas to clean from the heart.
那即便是一个人，他之前已经累积了许多的虔诚活动，但是内心中还是有很多 anatta， 很多不想要的污染，所以说都需要慢慢的清除。
Krishna is expecting that the conditioned souls will come to him with some motive.
所以呢 ，Krishna 他知道。受条件限制的灵魂一定是带着某一种程度上的动机来接近他的。
But as Srila Prabhupada said, when you make one step toward Krishna, he makes 10 steps towards you.
但是就像 Srila Prabhupada 说的一样，当你向 Krishna 迈进一步的时候， Krishna 就向你迈进10步。
So we discussed last week how there are different ways that Krishna responds to the devotees'desires.
在上一周我们谈到了针对不同奉献者的愿望 ,Krishna 是怎么样回应的。
The first one is that it doesn't matter what your desires are, you should come forward to Krishna.
那第一点就是说不管你是带着一种什么样的这种愿望或者欲望，你也应当走进 Krishna。
Whether you have no desires, or we are full of material desires, or even have impersonal desires, you should still go to Krishna.
那无论是无欲无求，还是说带着一定程度的物质欲望，甚至是非人格主义的这种欲望，那么无论如何，都还是应当接近 Krishna.
And the reason for this is that because the conditioned soul has been in this material world for so long.Any small effort made towards Krishna, Krishna will personally get involved.
但是因为呢，就是受条件限制的灵魂在这个物质世界上已经待得非常的漫长了，所以在这个时候，哪怕是些许的一点努力，那 Krishna 他也会积极的回应的。
Sometimes the question is asked: At what point does Krishna interferes? with the living entity's activities.
那有的人呢，他会提出这样的一个问题，究竟是在一个什么时间点上，或者在什么情况下，至尊主 Krishna 会介入到生物体的活动中呢？
We know that Krishna is within the heart of all living entities.
我们知道呢， Krishna 是在所有的生物体的心中。
We know that Krishna creates, maintains, and destroys this material universe.
我们也知道至尊主 Krishna 他是创造、维系和毁灭这个宇宙的。
And yet, the conditioned soul still engages in so many materialistic activities.
但是受限制的灵魂在这个物质世界当中依然沉溺于各种各样的世俗活动。
Sometimes people are bewildered because there are calamities, many people die, and they wonder if God exists, why are these things happening?
有的时候呢，有很多的自然灾害降临，然后呢，有好多人呢，就是在这种灾难当中失去生命，所以人们就感到非常的困惑，如果有上帝的存在的话，为什么还会有这样的灾难，人们还要受这样的苦呢？
People wonder,If God is all love and compassion, why do people suffer?
有的人他们也不明白为什么说如果说上帝他真的是充满着爱充满着慈悲的为什么人类要经受这么多的痛苦呢
But this has got nothing to do with God.
但是实际上所有的这一切和神是没有关系的。
Because the living entity enjoys this material world and the living entity has to deal with the material energy.
那因为呢，生物体它在这个物质世界当中，它是抱着一种享受的态度，所以它就必须要去和这个物质自然的这种能量发生关系。
In the Bhagavad Gita, it is very clear that the position of the super soul, Krishna within the heart, is only to witness and to allow.
那在《薄伽梵歌》里非常清楚地提到了，至尊主是在每一个生物体的心中，是以一个准许者，和目击见证者的一个身份。
So it doesn't matter what kind of birth you're going to take, all your desires will be fulfilled.
所以呢，不管你出生是一种什么样的一种形态，你所有的这种愿望都会得到满足。
If you want to take birth as a tree or as a fly or as a horse, your desires will be fulfilled.
那如果说呢，你想投身为一棵大树，或者是一只苍蝇，或者是一头大象，不管是什么样的愿望，终归会得到回应，会实现的。
But then you have to bear the consequences. You have to be responsible for your actions.
但是你就必须为你的这种愿望以及你自己的行动。要负起责任。
And material nature does not discriminate who is who.
物质自然是不做分辨的。
For example, if a child wants to play with fire, the parents will say, "Don't touch the fire."
比如说，一个孩子想玩火，那他的父母就会警告他说，不要碰火。
If the child touches the fire and gets burnt, that is his responsibility.
如果一个小孩他还执意去玩那个火的话，然后呢就烧疼了，那这是他自己得为自己的行为负责了。
Prabhupada gives the example that in India, people drive on the left side of the road.
那 Prabhupada 举这样的一个例子，说像印度人呢，他们是在他们的这个国家印度。它是左行，在这个道路的左边行走的。
In China, people drive on the right side of the road.
那在这个中国就正好是相反，中国人是靠着马路右边行驶的。
So if an Indian man drives a car in China and he drives on the left side of the road and he causes an accident.
那如果说一个印度人到了中国去，他也是开着车在马路的左边行走，那可能就会撞上一个。这个交通事故。
The judge is not going to say, "Well, that's okay, you didn't know."
那这个法官他不会说啊，因为你这个不知者不怪。
Now the judge will say, "We have a law in this country. You broke the law. You have to pay the consequences."
那这个法官他一定会说，我们这个国家有我们国家的法律。如果你违法的话， 那你呢就要必须承担后果。
So the way we deal with material nature responds accordingly.
所以说呢，我们对待这个物质自然的这种方式呢，也同样的招致物质自然对我们的回应。
So Krishna does not interfere with the independence and the free will of the living entity.
所以呢，Krishna 他是不会介入到生物体的独立性和他的自由意志的。
So the question again, at what point does Krishna interfere?
那可能这个问题还是没有得到解决，就是。大家会问这样的一个问题，那 Krishna 他到底在什么时候会介入呢？
Krishna interferes at the slightest interest in Krishna consciousness.
那么就是说Krishna 他在这个 Krishna 知觉当中， Krishna has the slightest interest.
Krishna interferes if you have the slightest interest in Krishna consciousness.
就是说当你呢就是对于这个 Krishna 知觉产生了兴趣，即便是这个兴趣是微乎其微的，这个时候 Krishna 他也会介入。
So that's why even if you have material desires, if you have interest in Krishna consciousness, Krishna will personally come forward.
那换句话说就是说即便是你有很多的这个物质欲望，但是你只要是对 Krishna 知觉有产生了那么一丁点的这个兴趣的时候， Krishna 他在这个时候他也就会介入。
So Krishna becomes very merciful.
所以 Krishna 他是非常的仁慈的。
He can reciprocate beyond our own expectations.
所以 Krishna 他的这种回应往往是就是超越了我们的期望。
And when we come towards Krishna consciousness, we don't really know how much we want to surrender to Krishna.
当我们进入到 Krishna 知觉中的时候，我们也不知道我们究竟在多大程度上想皈依于 Krishna.
So Krishna knows that we may make mistakes.
那 Krishna 呢，他是知道的，我们肯定会犯错。
And in many ways, Krishna will protect the aspiring devotee from falling again into the material condition.
对于一个这样充满着渴望的一个奉献者来说， Krishna 他也会以各种的这个方式来保护这个奉献者，使他不至于再落入到物质的泥潭。
So Prabhupada explains also that if something happens to a devotee, the devotee may think that it's something very challenging.
Prabhupada 他说呢，如果说奉献者遭遇到某一些困境的时候，可能就会觉得是非常的挑战的。
If Prabhupada gives the example, if for example you hurt your little finger.
比如说呢，Prabhupada 他举了一个例子，比如说你伤到了你的小手指。
Even if it hurts, the devotee will think, well, if I was not a devotee, I would have lost my hand.
那即便是就是这个伤得非常的重，非常疼，那一个奉献者的心态是什么呢？可能也会是这么想的，就是要不是说我有 Krishna 知觉的话，我可能会失去整个胳膊。
So there is a nice verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam where the devotee prays that even though the devotee may go through many challenges and obstacles in devotional service, the devotee will be very, very patient and will be very tolerant because he or she understands that this is very, very little obstacles compared to if I was a non-devotee.
所以圣贤伯加瓦坦里就有这样的一个师节，这个师节里面呢，就是说讲到了，就是一个奉献者，他即便是经历了很多的这个挑战。经历了很多的这个磨难和痛苦，他也会有这样的一种心态，就是说如果我不是一个奉献者，是一个非奉献者的话，我可能要经历的这个挑战和困难还要比这大得多，因此在无论在任何情况下，这个奉献者都会非常的容忍，非常的耐心。
A devotee never thinks I have been practicing Bhakti Yoga for so many years and I still have obstacles, this is not fair, I should be more pure, I should be more advanced, things should be easier for me. A devotee never thinks like this.
一个奉献者他不会这么想，我在 Bhakti Yoga 风啊瑜伽 Krishna 之约当中已经休息了这么多年了，可是还怎么会还是困难重重，还是会挑战不断呢？按理说我已经休息这么久了，我应该要轻松得多，不会遇到这么多困难，应该更轻而易举。一个奉献者他是不会有这样的一种心态。
So the more we go towards Krishna, the more Krishna personallygets involved.
所以说我们越是接近于 Krishna, Krishna 他就会越是亲自的来介入。
Because the only relationship between the living entity and Krishna is the nature of the relationship is pure devotional service.
因为其实个体灵魂和 Krishna 之间的真正的这种关系，也是唯一的这种关系，就是一种纯粹的奉爱。
So,At some point, Lord Chaitanya explains that even if a devotee still has material desires, Krishna will not allow those material desires to grow.
所以呢，就是在这个对话中呢，齐檀尼马哈帕波后来就是讲，就算是一个奉献者，他心中还是有好多的这个物质欲望的，但是这个时候 Krishna 他也会介入，他不会让这个他的物质欲望呢。更加的就是扩大，更加的加深。
In other words, when we practice devotional service and we pray to Krishna to purify our heart, we still have material desires, but Krishna will say, "You have those material desires, but I'm not going to fulfill them for you."
那换句话说，如果说你已经在修习 Krishna 知觉了，你向 Krishna 祈祷，希望 Krishna。能够帮助你，能够净化你的内心，将你内心中的物质欲望清除。那么在这个时候，其实你的心中还是掺杂的很多的物质欲望的。那 Krishna 他就会亲自照顾你，他不会让你的这种物质欲望再生长下去。
And this brings up
就是说他，你的物质欲望不会得到他给你的满足。
This brings up a very important topic.
所以呢，这个也就引起了，就是更加一个引发了更加一个重要的一个话题。
Because it is said that when devotees worship Lord Shiva or worship Goddess Lakshmi,
就比如说奉献者他去崇拜西瓦神、主西瓦，还有这个 Lakshmi 女神、西域女神
，or they worship Ganesh,
或者是崇拜这个 Ganesh 下神
，or worship demigods.
或者是崇拜半神人
They will become very materially well off and very wealthy.
他们可能就是物质的境况非常的舒适，非常的衣食无忧。
But those who go to Krishna, they lose everything.
但是这是崇拜半神人的情况，但是有一些奉献者他去崇拜 Krishna 的时候，他可能反而是一无所有的。
Because when you go to Krishna, it means that you, as Queen Kunti has prayed, Krishna can only be approached by those who are materially impoverished.
就是就像是这个昆蒂皇后她向这 Krishna 所祈祷的一样，就是奉献者他只有是在物质上面一贫如洗的时候，就是这个时候他才能真正的接近于 Krishna。
So, it's an interesting point to understand very, very clearly.
所以呢，就是这一点是非常的有意思的，我们应当要非常清楚的理解。
If we want pure devotional service, then we have to be prepared to lose everything material.
所以说，就是如果说我们内心是真心的想要达到纯粹的话，我们就要做好在物质上一贫如洗的准备，就是你失去所有的物质的东西，不光是财富。
Lord Chaitanya prayed na dhanam na janam na sundarim kavitam vajagadish kamaye mama janmani janmanishvare bhavatad bhakti rahi tukitvahi My dear Lord, I do not desire any wealth.
那且看见马哈帕布在他的八旬归当中有一段祷文，就是说我亲爱的主啊，我不追求任何的财富。
I do not want any beautiful women.
我也不稀罕任何的美女。
I don't want any number of followers.
不稀罕任何的追随者。
And I am prepared to serve you birth after birth, which means I don't even want liberation.
啊，就是，然后他说我只希望一世复一世的为你做没有缘故的奉献服务，做你的仆人。那意思就是说呢，我没有任何其他的这个物质欲望。
I just want pure devotional service.
我只是想要这个纯粹的奉爱服务。
So there is another verse where Krishna says that, I take away everything from my devotee so he can come to me.
然后另外还有一个时间呢 ，Krishna 他说呢，我拿走奉献者的一切的拥有，使得他能够来到我的跟前。
So somebody may ask, what if I want to accumulate wealth to use it in Krishna's service?
那有人可能会提出这样一个问题，我想累积一些财富，拿这些财富来服务 Krishna。
Is this having material desires or not?
那这个算是物质欲望还是不算呢？
Well, if a devotee is intelligent enough or has the piety to handle material wealth and use it in Krishna's service, then there is no limit to how much Krishna can give.
那如果说一个奉献者他真的有这样足够的智慧和纯粹，能够很好的去运用这些物质的能量来为 Krishna 服务的话，那 Krishna 可能赐给你的这个物质能量，或者在这里说的就是对你的这个物质财富的这个赐予，可能是无穷无尽的。
We see that most of the devotees actually in Krishna consciousness, they're not really interested to make a lot of money.
我们会看到，就是大多数的奉献者对于挣很多的钱其实没什么兴趣。
If they can maintain themselves, pay their bills, raise their children, then the rest of the time they would rather read Prabhupada's books and do kirtan.
奉献者可能就是满足于能够这个养家糊口，能够维持一个基本的物质所需就可以了。那他们想用更多的剩下来的时间来阅读《Srila Prabhupada》的书。
So, for example, now we have this Chini project.
就好像
Chini project.
比如说，现在我们有一个叫做新一啊这样子的一个
yeah,
项目。
Where you have over 100 devotees who are paying interest about this project of making money online.
然后有好多。对这个奉献者，他们对于这种在网上的这样一种商业的这个活动呢，是非常的感兴趣的。
So some devotees say, well, this is a very good platform where devotees can associate together.
有的奉献者呢，觉得这是一个非常好的这个平台，奉献者可以通过这个平台呢，同时也能够有相互的联谊。
And we can exchange ideas how to do trading together.
然后呢，我们也可以相互的在这个工作上面还有一个相互的讨论，能够知道怎么样呢？很好的去运营这样的一个平台，能够从中有一定的收益。
And this will create, excuse me.
No.
And this will create a very good sangha.
而且呢，这个而且呢还非常的重要的就是说，这个它能够创造一个非常好的这个。
So, on principle, this is a very good idea.
那么从原则上来讲，这是一个非常好的一个想法。
But devotees should be very introspective about their motives behind wanting to be involved with this.
不过呢，我建议就是所有的奉献者也要有一个内省，就是经常的去省察一下自己，当我去做这件事情的时候，我到底是一种什么样的一种出发点。
And the body should be very careful to try to understand what is the actual objective in wanting to make money.
那我们经常还要去审视一下自己，我们想要挣那么多的钱，最终拿到这些钱之后，我们想做一些什么？这个目的，挣钱的目的到底是什么
？So, Krishna will fulfill desires, but when our bhakti yoga practice is not going to benefit, then Krishna will not allow it.
那 Krishna 呢？他是会回报我们的，会回应我们。但是如果说到了一定的程度， 比如说我们物质上的这个发展已经阻碍了我们在 Krishna 知觉当中的这个进步，那么 Krishna 这个时候他可能就会干涉，他可能就会阻止了。
So it's actually quite interesting because we see in Lord Chaitanya's pastime that he was practically speaking most of his followers were householders.
我们看到 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的这个逍遥时光里面大多数的这个同游都是居士。
But most of them were not wealthy devotees.
大多数的这些居士的这些奉献者也不是说是非常的富有的。
And then we have the example of the Goswamis who came from very very wealthy families and gave everything up for pure bhakti.
那还有一些奉献者就像是六格斯瓦米，他们实际上是 出自这个非常显赫富有的这个家庭，但这种背景，但是呢他们最后就是抛弃了一切的这个财富，成为奉献者。
And we have Srila Prabhupada's own example.
我们还有 Srila Prabhupada 个人的这个例子。
Who was a very successful businessman.
之前他也是一个很成功的商人。
And then gradually his business collapsed.
但是慢慢呢，他这个生意呢，最后就失败了。
His family was not interested in him anymore.
然后他的这个家人呢？对他也就失去了兴趣。
So Krishna took away everything from him.
所以最后的时候 ，Krishna 其实是拿走了他的一切。
But what did Krishna give in return?
但是 Krishna 他拿走了物质的这一切之后，又给了他什么样的回报呢
？I mean, Krishna gave Srila Prabhupada unlimited wealth.
可以说 Krishna 给予了他无穷无尽的财富。
Because Srila Prabhupada was not interested.In being attached to a single dollar.
因为 Srila Prabhupada 呢，他对这个财富没有任何的这个兴趣，哪怕是一美元，他也是无动于衷。
Srila Prabhupada was not interested in owning any properties.
Srila Prabhupada 他对于这种房产呀、地产啊，也没有什么兴趣。
Prabhupada wanted to give everything to Krishna.
他没有这个个人的拥有的兴趣，他是要把所有这一切献给 Krishna。
When we look at Prabhupada's assets, by the time he left this world, he had 108 properties.
那但是当 Srila Prabhupada 离开这个世界的时候，如果我们来看一下他的这个财富的话，他在这个地球上仅有108处地产。
Today there are 700 properties.
他到今天呢，已经增加到了700。
So Krishna keeps giving as long as we use everything in His service.
所以说，只要是我们把我们获得的这些物质都不断的用于对 Krishna 的服务的话 ，Krishna 就会源源不断的提供。
At some point, the devotee will personally come forward and fully surrender.
那到了一定的这个时间点呢，这个奉献者就会来到 Krishna 的面前，完全的皈依。
So the example that we gave last week is the example of Dhruva Maharaj.
我们上周举了一个例子，就是 Dhruva Maharaj,
who went to the forest to perform austerities to get material gain.
他到森林里面去进行这个苦修苦行，就是，但是他当时的目的是为了得到一些物质的。好处物质的财富。
But when he managed to see Krishna face to face, all his material desires disappeared.
但是当Krishna 面对面的来到他的跟前的时候，他的这些物质欲望就都烟消云散了。
We have the example of Prahlad, who was born in a family of a demon.
我们还有 Prahlad Maharaj 的例子，他是出生在一个恶魔家庭。
Who, despite the animosity And his evil father managed to never forget the instruction of his guru.
虽然他的父亲是无恶不作的这个恶魔，对他施加了无数的暴行，但是他在这种情况下，他都没有忘记 Krishna.
And when Lord Nrisimhadev wanted to give him a benediction, he said, "I don't want anything."
当主尼辛哈德想要祝福 Prahlad Maharaj 的时候。Prahlad Maharaj 他说呢，我一无所求。
There's only three things that Prahlad requested from Lord Nrisimhadev.
那其实 Prahlad 他就是只是向主 Nrisimhadev 祈求了三个愿望。
One is please protect my father.
第一个就是说他请求主 Nrisimhadev 来保护他的父亲。
Lord Nrisimhadev said, I've already given him liberation.
主 Nrisimhadev 说呢，我已经让他解脱了。
Then Prahlad said, there are many fools and rascals. There are many people who only think about themselves. I want you to free them first. I will go back to the spiritual world last.
然后呢 Prahlad 他就说在这个世界上充满了蠢人、无赖和自私自利的人。我希望您能够让他们所有的人都得到解脱。我愿意是最后一个。
And then finally, he told Lord Nrisimhadev, if you want to give me any benediction, then I pray that within the core of my heart, there will be no more material desires.
然后呢，就是最后呢，他就说完了前面两个愿望之后，他就对主 Nrisimhadev 说，希望您能够扫尽我的内心角落中的哪怕最后的一丝物质欲望。
So, if we want a definition of what is Krishna consciousness,
那如果说你要对于这个 Krishna 知觉要有这样的一个定义的话，
Krishna consciousness means that we move away from the center of attention.
那 Krishna 知觉就是意味着我们不再试图去占据这个注意力的中心。
Because we are in a material world,Because we want to be the center of everything.
因为我们都身在这个物质世界，所以就是希望是一切的中心，别人都关注我。
And to become Krishna conscious means that we move away from the center, and we allow Krishna to be the center.
那就是成为 Krishna 知觉的奉献者，就意味着，你就自愿的离开这个关注点的这个中。中心，而是让 Krishna 成为这个关注的核心。
So, the next thing that happens after Lord Chaitanya talking about Krishna personally being involved with the devotee's progress is the devotee's great fortune.
那么就是当初 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 他描述了Krishna 他是怎么样来回应。不同的这种情况的奉献者的时候，接下来他要解释的就是说，奉献者他是多么的幸运。
And this is something which is it should be part of the devotee's meditation.
那这实际上呢，这种感恩之情也是奉献者应当时时刻刻的具备的一种冥想。
To be introspective and to regularly.Understand how fortunate we are.
所以，经常的去内省，经常的去感受我对于 Krishna 究竟有多么的感恩。
That we should never take Krishna consciousness for granted.
就是我们不要把这个 Krishna 知觉想当然了，认为是理所应当的。
From the moment, from the point that we come to Krishna consciousness.We are indebted, and that debt can never be repaid.
但是当我们加入到 Krishna 知觉中的来的时候呢，我们其实已经亏欠了，我们已经负债了，而这样子的一种债务是永远无法偿清的。
So somehow or other, by accumulating previous pious credit.
就是不管不知是怎么回事，我们在前世可能在之前累积了一些虔诚的活动。
We come in contact with Krishna consciousness.
然后我们就接触到了 Krishna 知觉。
And Lord Chaitanya explained is just like straws in the river.
那 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 他就有这样的一个描述，他说呢就好像是。河上的浮草。
Some straws will go with the flow of the river all the way to the ocean.
那有的草呢，它就会顺流而下，随波逐流，一直顺着这个河流流向海洋。
And they will just disappear.
然后就消失的无影无踪。
But some of these straws, they may reach the bank of the river and just stay there.
但是有的一些浮潮呢，它可能就被冲到了河岸上面，然后呢就被固定在那个地方，再没有往前走了。
So the idea is that we can spend many many lifetimes wandering in this material world.
啊，所以呢，这个中心是什么呢？就是我们可能在这个物质世界已经徘徊流浪了生生世世了。
Great fortune, we come in contact with Krishna consciousness.
但是呢，不知是什么原因啊，我们好运当头，我们就接触到了 Krishna 之权。
That's when we stop floating around aimlessly.
啊，那这个时候呢，我们就是漫无目的的漂流着。
And this is the good fortune of the conditioned soul.
啊，所以这个也是对于奉献者来说是一个极大的幸运。
So there's nothing to be proud of because we are devotees. We should be proud to be devotees, but we shouldn't be proud that it was normal that I became a devotee and I deserve to be a devotee. This is not the right attitude.
啊，作为奉献者呢，我们的确是应当引以为傲的，但是不要以为说我是理所应当的，我做了这么多，我当然应当有这样的好运，成为这个奉献者。
So Lord Chaitanya gives a very good example.
所以呢，主 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 他就举了一个非常好的例子。
He gives the example of Akrura.
他就举了一个 Akrura 的例子。
So Akrura, we know Akrura from the pastimes of Lord Krishna in Vrindavan.
我们都知道，就是。在这个Krishna 在 Vrindavan 的这个逍遥时光，我们如果了解的话，都知道这个 Akrura 是谁。
So Akrura was based in Mathura, and he was working for King Kamsa.
这个 Akrura 呢，他原本是在就是为这个 Kamsa 效力的，他是在 Mathura.
And Akrura knew about Krishna, but he had never met him.
就是 Akrura 他是听说过 Krishna 的名字的，但是他从来都没有亲眼见过。
Because as soon as Krishna appeared in Mathura, he was transferred to Vrindavan.
因为当 Krishna 显现在 Mathura 之后，他很快的就被送到了 Vrindavan。
But he knew that Krishna had appeared, and he knew that Krishna was in Vrindavan.
那但是他也知道这是 Krishna 已经显示，然后 Krishna 呢？他也在这个 Vrindavan， 这个他是知道的。
So at some point, as we know in Krishna's pastime, Kamsa, after sending so many demons and those demons being defeated, Kamsa sent a personal invitation to Krishna to come to Mathura.
那我们也知道这个逍遥时光里面说到呢， Kamsa 他就派遣了各种各样的恶魔去杀死这个Krishna， 但是纷纷都落败了，或者被杀死了。然后这个时候，最后这个 Kamsa 就亲自的去向这个 Krishna 发出了一个邀请，希望他能够来到 Mathura。
So he sent Akrura to go and get Krishna and Balaram.
所以这个时候他就派遣 Akrura 亲自到 Vrindavan 去接 Krishna 和 Balaram， 把他们带回到这个 Mathura 来。
Now you can imagine what was in the mind of Akrura when he began his journey on his chariot towards Vrindavan.
所以你可以想见，就是当 Mathura， 当那个 Akrura， 他就是上了这个马车，开始向 Vrindavan 行进的时候，他的这个内心都在想些什么？他是这种什么心情？
He began to meditate on the fact that he is going to meet Krishna face to face.
那他当时呢，他就是在开始冥想了。当我见到了 Krishna， 面对面的见到了 Krishna 的时候，会发生些什么
？And he began to meditate about his own great fortune.
那首先呢，他先是冥想到了自己的这个巨大的幸运。
He did not feel to be qualified to be engaged in such a service.
他觉得他自己其实是完全没有资格去做这样的一个伟大的服务的。
So he said, because I am so fallen, I shall never get a chance to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
因为他觉得他自己是那么的堕落，所以他根本就没有资格能够亲眼的见到至尊人格首身。
This was my false apprehension. Rather, by chance, a person as fallen as I am may get to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although one is being carried away by the waves of the river of time, one may eventually reach the shore.
他说呢，这就是我虚假的焦虑。一个像我这样子的一个堕落的人呢，应该是能够去见至尊人格守神的。虽然我被这个时间的洪流的波涛所带离，但是这算是一个人他被这个时间的大河的波涛所带离，但是一个人最终他也应当会达到这个河岸。
So in other words,Akura is saying, I'm so fallen, I will never get a chance to see Krishna.
那换句话说呢，就是 Akura 他是觉得他这个见到至尊人格守神呢，这是他的一个好运。他觉得他自己本来还是没有资格见到至尊主的。
But that is not a fact.
但是这事实上并不是这样的。
By good fortune, a living entity will be able to see Krishna, by good fortune.
那一个人他一个受条件限制的灵魂，因为幸运，所以说他是可以见到 Krishna。
So Lord Chaitanya talks about different kinds of good fortune.
主切塔涅马哈帕布他就描述了各种各样的好运。
He says there is, Prabhupada explained, he says there is bhakti on mukhi sukriti. That's one type of good fortune.
就是释迦牟尼佛他就是解释说有一种好运叫做 bhakti ummukhi sukriti.
So bhakti ummukhi sukriti are pious activities. They are pious activities that awaken one's Krishna consciousness.
那这样的一种好运就是说，它是唤醒了一个人内心中潜藏着的 Krishna 知觉，沉睡的 Krishna 知觉。
Then there is Bhogomukhi Sukriti.
还有一种好运叫做 Bhogomukhi Sukriti.
These are the activities which gives one material opulence.
这种虔诚的这个活动呢，赐予一个人世俗物质的财富。
And then there is Mokshomukhi Sukriti.
还有最后一种呢，被称为Mokshomukhi Sukriti.
These are the pious activities which allow the conditioned soul to merge with Krishna's existence.
那这样的一些好运就是让一个受条件限制的灵魂它能够融入到 Krishna 的存在。
So Kriti means activity. Sukriti means pious activities.
Kriti 的意思是活动，而 Sukriti 的含义呢就是虔诚活动。
So,Out of the three, Prabhupada explained, only one should be considered favorable pious activities.
那释迦牟尼佛说，在这三种虔诚活动当中呢，只有一种它是真正有益的虔诚活动。
And that's the one which awakens one's Krishna consciousness.
就是第一种，就是唤醒了一个人沉睡的 Krishna 知觉的那个虔诚活动。
So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quotes another wonderful verse from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam.
接着 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 呢，他又引用了圣典博迦瑞谈第十篇的一个世界。
Where he explained what is the nature of one's good fortune.
就是说一个人他什么叫做真正的好运，真正的这个好运的性质是什么。
He says,O my Lord, O infallible Supreme Person, when a person wandering throughout the universes becomes eligible for liberation from material existence, he gets an opportunity to associate with devotees. When he associates with devotees, his attraction for you is awakened. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the highest goal of the topmost devotees, and the Lord of the universe.
这个世界是这么说的，亲爱的主啊，永无谬误的至尊人格，当一个在这个宇宙当中在徘徊流浪的人，当他有资格能够从物质存在中得到解脱的时候，他就有了机会和他的奉献者联谊， 当他与奉献者联谊接触时候，他，你对他的这个吸引力就在他的心中被唤醒了。你就是至尊人格神手，是最崇高的奉献者心中最崇高的目标。你是最崇高的奉献者和宇宙之主的最高的目标。
So, Lord Chaitanya is choosing this verse to explain that actually the good fortune of a devotee is to come in contact with another devotee.
我刚才纠正一下哈，刚才就是说，他说你是至尊人格首生，是最崇高的奉献者，最高的目标，你是宇宙之主。那换句话说，就是说，作为一个生物体在这个宇宙中徘徊的生物体来说，它的这个最大的幸运就是有朝一日能够跟奉献者去联谊。
In other words, if we get any taste, if we get any enthusiasm to practice bhakti yoga, it's because of the association of devotees.
就是说，如果说我们能够对奉爱服务有这么产生一点点的兴趣和品味的话，那也是因为和奉献者接触，有了奉献者联谊的缘故。
Now Lord Chaitanya explained how this works.
然后Chaitanya Mahaprabhu呢，他接下来他就解释说，这一切是怎么发生的。
Krishna yadi kripakare kona bhagyavane guru antarjami rupe shikaya apane.Krishna is situated in everyone's heart as the Chaitya Guru, the spiritual master within. When he is kind to some fortunate conditioned soul, he personally gives him lessons so he can progress in devotional service, instructing the person as the super soul within and the spiritual master without.
那这段话呢，就是说Krishna 他以 Chaitya Guru 也就是内心中的灵性导师的身份居于每一个人的心中，当他对一些幸运的受条件限制的灵魂有了仁慈的时候，他便会亲自的去教导他，帮助他在奉爱服务当中得到进步。他在内心他以超灵的身份，他在内以超灵的身份，在外以灵性导师的身份来教导这个人。
So, to look at the bigger picture of what we've been talking about until now,
那我们来看一看就是这个更大的这个图景，就是到目前为止我们所谈到的这个背景。
There are different devotees who come towards Krishna.
但是有不同的奉献者，他们是抱着不同的心态来接近 Krishna 的。
And each one of them have different motives.
然后呢，他们中每一个人都有不同的动机。
But ultimately, there's only one motive, and that's pure devotional service.
但是终极而言的话呢，只有一个共同的一个目标，这就是奉爱服务。
So it is through a devotee that one will cultivate this pure devotional service.
所以的确是只通过了跟奉献者的联谊，一个人才会慢慢的去培养这种奉爱服务的心愿。
So first, our spiritual master and everyone's spiritual master is Krishna.
首先，我们的灵性导师，所有的人的这个灵性导师呢，就是 Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada explains from the moment that we accept Krishna within our heart, that is the initiation.
那Srila Prabhupada 他说呢，从我们就是心中去接受 Krishna 的那一刻开始。实际上呢，这就已经是一种启迪了。
Krishna is everyone's guru.
也就是说 ，Krishna 他是所有的人的灵性导师。
So he's called Chaitya Guru, the guru within.
所以呢，他就是被称为这个 Chaitya Guru， 也就是内心的 guru。
And when the Chaitya Guru, Krishna within the heart, sees the sincerity of the devotee, he will arrange for that devotee to meet the spiritual master without.
所以呢，当这个 Chaitya Guru， 也就是内在的 Guru， 居于心中的这个 Guru， 他能够看到这个奉献者，他是非常的，就这个生物体是非常的真诚的，他就会
In other words, the spiritual master of Krishna within the heart.
所以呢，换句话说，就是灵性导师，他也是一个奉献者心中的Krishna 的外在展示。
But there are different levels of gurus.
那这个灵性导师呢，他也有不同的层面。
For example, someone who just gives you an information about Krishna consciousness, even if they are not devotees, they are our first guru.
就比如说，我们最初所接触到的。让给予了我们有关 Krishna 知觉信息的人，即便他们并自己并不是奉献者，他们其实上也是我们的第一任 guru。
Then the devotees who are giving us association, who are helping us grow in Krishna consciousness, they are also our gurus。
然后就是接下来的一类 guru， 就是他们一直在帮助着我们在 Krishna 知觉的道路上。逐步的去进步的人，那他们也是成为我们的灵性导师。
And then ultimately there is the guru who gives us initiation.
最终还有给予我们启迪的灵性导师。
So, this process is working. Krishna within the heart sees the intention of the devotee, and then he will send a spiritual master.To help that devotee cross the ocean of material suffering.
所以呢，就是是这样的，在我们内心当中的这个灵性导师，那他看到了我们的这种真诚之后，就会做出这个安排。从外在而言，能够我们就能够去跨越这个物质的苦海。
Therefore, association with devotees.Is of prime importance.
外在就会安排这个奉献者来到我们的跟前，所以和奉献者之间的这种联谊呢，实际上是对于我们来说是最重要的。
Lord Chaitanya says, "Sadhu Sangha, Krishna Bhakti Shraddha Yad Hoy, Bhakti Palaprema Hoy, Samsara Yayakshay." By associating with the devotee.One awaken his faith in devotional service to Krishna. Because of devotional service, one's dormant love for Krishna awakens, and thus one's material condition existence comes to an end.
那么其他的马哈帕布他就是说呢，通过和奉献者的联谊，一个人他对于这个 Krishna 的奉海服务的信心就会被唤醒了。有这样的奉献服务，所以他对 Krishna 的纯粹的爱就被唤醒。于是，一个人的物质的世俗的受条件限制的这种物质存在呢，也就会就此终结。
So, how do we become Krishna conscious by being with others who are Krishna conscious?
那我们怎么样才能够具备 Krishna 知觉呢？我们就是要通过和其他人的这个联谊，这样子才能具备 Krishna 知觉和奉献者的联谊。
Now, Lord Chaitanya again says.
那 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 呢，其实又说。
Mahat kripa bina kono karme bhakti noy Krishna bhakti dure rahu samsara nahikshoy. Unless one is favored by a pure devotee, one cannot attain the platform of devotional service. To say nothing of Krishna bhakti, one cannot even be relieved from the bondage of material existence.
在这里就是说到，除非一个人得到了一个纯粹奉献者的青睐，否则的话呢，就不可能达到奉爱服务的层面，更不用说是 Krishna bhakti 啊，对 Krishna 的奉爱了。一个人甚至是没有办法从物质存在的这种束缚当中解脱出来。
So this is repeated in many many places in the scriptures that unless we are in association with devotees, it will be very difficult to make spiritual progress.
那么在这个许多经典当中也到处都有这样的一个阐释，就是说，除非是我们能够和奉献者联谊，否则在灵修道路上可以说是寸步难行。
Now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quotes another wonderful verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam.
然后 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 接下来他又引述了圣典《佛伽瓦坛》里的一段非常美妙的诗节。
Rahu ganaitat tapasana yati nacheijaya nirvapanad grihadva nachandasa naiva jalagni surye vina mahat pado rajo bishekam. This is a very famous verse in the pastimes of Maharaj Rahugana and Jadabharat.
就是这是在博雅瓦坛第五篇当中的，就是 Rahugana 王 Rahugana 王和那个 Jadabharat 之间的那个对话。
O King Rahugana, without taking upon one's head the dust from the lotus feet of a pure devotee, a Mahajan or a Mahatma, one cannot attain devotional service. Devotional service is not possible to attain simply by undergoing severe austerities and penances, by gorgeously worshipping the deity, or by strictly following the rules and regulation of the sannyas or grihastha order. Nor is it attained by studying the Vedas, submerging oneself in water, or exposing oneself to fire or scorching light.
在这里就是说到呢，拉胡嘎纳王啊，如果没有来自于纯粹的奉献者，一位马哈贾或者说马哈兹玛伟大的灵魂的莲花足下的尘土，一个人是不可能达到峰爱服务的，仅仅是去进行严苛的苦行忏悔，或者是非常华丽的去崇拜神像，或者严格的去遵循一个萨尼亚西、波波僧或者是格里哈斯塔。 知识的这个生命进阶的规范修习，或者是去研习伟达经典，将自己浸没在水中，或者是在烈火中炙烤，在炽热的阳光下煎熬，这一切都不可能让一个人获得奉爱服务。
Yes. So we can try whatever we want to make spiritual progress. Unless it is connected to association with devotees, it's not going to help very much.
那可能有人他会想尽各种各样的方法，想经过这个修行啊、灵修啊，想要达到一个进步。但是除非说能够和一个奉献者有所联谊。 与奉献者联谊，否则的话呢，其实最终就是一无所获。So
Jadabharat, he was teaching the king.
所以 Jadabharat 他现在其实就是在教导这个国王，Rahugana王。
That the king should realize that he has a golden opportunity to be in contact with a pure devotee, and Jadabharat is that pure devotee. So you should take advantage of learning from me.
所以呢，这个 Jadabharat 他其实现在就是在教育这个 Rahugana 王，就是跟他说你既然有这个机会，能够亲身接触到一位纯粹的奉献者，那其实换句话说，就是 Jadabharat 就是一位纯粹的奉献者 ，Rahugana 王他今天有幸见到了这样的一个纯粹的奉献者，他就应当很好的去珍惜这个机会，从这个纯粹的奉献者的这个联谊当中。
So it's a long story which we find in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam.
这故事挺长的，是在这个圣典博迦瓦坛第五篇里可以看到。
But after Jadabharat spoke on the process of devotional service to the king got off the palanquin and completely surrendered. He became a devotee.
那就是在他们是在这个路上见到的，然后 Jadabharat 呢，他就向这个国王去描述了这个奉爱服务的这个程序，这个过程，然后听完了他的一席话之后，这个 Rahugana 王就立刻从他的这个轿子上下来，就起身下轿了，然后就在这个向这个 Jadabharat 就完全的皈依了。
So this is something that we see in every devotee, is this act of compassion towards those who are suffering materially.
在很多这个奉献者身上，我们都可以看到，这是对于其他的在痛苦中煎熬的受条件限制灵魂的这种慈悲之心。
And another example that comes to mind is when King Daksha was bringing forth thousands of children, and they were all being trained in proper sadhana so they can become progenitors. And Narada Muni comes and he converts them all into devotees and send them.
看到了另外一个例子，就是 Daksha 啊，生下了很多的这个儿子，很多的孩子，然后呢，就是成百上千的，然后他想好的规范修习 Sadhana， 然后希望他们也能够担当起这个繁衍后代的责任。但是这个时候呢，就是Narada Muni 呢就介入了 ，Narada Muni 就是启迪了他们。让他们呢都就是成为这个奉献者了。
So in other words, in the mind and heart of a devotee, when you want to help another conditioned souls, there's no other option but to give pure bhakti. Everything else will not work in this material world.
就是说当一个人他对另外一个的痛苦的这个灵魂具有怜悯之心的时候，能够拯救他脱离这个物质苦海的唯一的这个方法，就是给他纯粹的 Krishna 知觉，让他去从事这个奉爱服务。除此之外，是别无他法的。
So next week we'll talk again about the great fortune of coming into contact with a pure devotee.
然后下一周我们就要仔细的去谈一下，就是接触到纯粹的奉献者。究竟幸运在哪里？
And how a devotee should not miss any opportunity to be in association with devotees.
所以奉献者千万不要错过了任何一个能够和纯粹的奉献者联谊的机会。
Okay, we have one question.
我们现在有一个问题来自于 Das， 就是 Krishna 的回应会超过我们的预期，这是什么意思？为什么会超过我们的预期呢？You mentioned that Krishna's response or reciprocation may exceed our expectation. What do you mean by that? Why Krishna would reward us beyond our expectation?
Because Krishna knows perfect. Krishna has been with us for unlimited number of lifetime in this material world. He knows us inside out.
因为我们在这个物质世界呢，已经是轮回了无数的生世了，而在整个过程当中 ，Krishna 一直都在心里面都在陪伴着我们，所以说呢，他是非常的了解我们，可以说是彻彻底底的了解我们。
Krishna knows exactly what our motivations are.
他完全的知道我们的动机是什么。
Even though we may not be aware of it.
就算是我们自己可能还没有意识到。
So Krishna knows that by exceeding our expectation, we are not going to take it for granted, but we're going to use it in service to Him in return.
那 Krishna 呢？他知道，就是说他的回应超过了我们这个预期，我们也不会说就认为是理所应当的。作为奉献者，我们会把我们所获得的这一切用来为 Krishna 服务。
And again, Srila Prabhupada's example comes to mind.
那这个时候我又想到了 Srila Prabhupada 的例子。
Prabhupada only wanted to fulfill the instruction of his guru.
Prabhupada 他只有一个唯一的愿望，就是去满足他的灵性导师的愿望。
And all he did was try.
其实他所做的一切都是一种尝试，就是一种努力。
And
那 Prabhupada 他只是做了一个尝试和努力，但是 Krishna 所给他的这个回报呢，是可以说是远远的超过了他的预期。
And there's another example in Prabhupada's life.
还有一个例子也跟 Srila Prabhupada 的，就是他的生活有关。
When Prabhupada established the deities in Los Angeles, this became the biggest temple in the world.
就是当时 Srila Prabhupada 在洛杉矶设立的这个神像，那当时这个洛杉矶的这个神庙是世界上最大的一个神庙。
And Prabhupada was very, very satisfied to have achieved this particular project.
这样的一个重要的这个项目呢，终于的落成了。那对于 Srila Prabhupada 来说呢，他是非常的高兴。
But then he had to leave America unexpectedly.
但是后来一些这个特殊的情况使他 就是不得不要不离开这个美国。嗯。
So he spoke to the deities in Los Angeles. Why are you taking me away from you? I have just achieved this wonderful service. Why are you taking me away from this service?
啊，那这个时候他就在这个洛杉矶的神像的这个面前跟神像说话，说我刚做完了这个非常重要的这个服务，但这个时候你为什么要把我带离呢？
So Prabhupada surrendered, he went to India.
但是 Prabhupada 他还是臣服了。那这个时候呢，他还是就是依从了 Krishna 的这种愿望，回到了印度。
He went with a group of disciples.
这个时候他就带了一小群奉献者与他随行。
And within a few years, Prabhupada established the Krishna Bharam Temple, the Mayapur Project, and the Bombay Temple.
那这个时候仅仅是接下来的几年当中，就是 Srila Prabhupada 他就建立了 Krishna Balaram 庙宇，这个就是在 Vrindavan， 然后是在 Mayapur 的神庙，还有孟买的神庙，就是三个地方，三个最重要的神庙。
He told the devotees, I realized that by being detached from this project in Los Angeles, Krishna would give me even more.
所以后来他就跟他的门徒奉献者们解释说呢，现在我明白了，当时我就是不依附于这个洛杉矶的这个神庙的这个项目，Krishna 没有让我去依附他，就是为了给我更多的。
Next question。
然后Das继续询问说 ，Krishna 亲自介入奉献者的生活。这是什么意思？什么叫做亲自介入？什么是间接介入？You mentioned that Krishna would personally interfere in devotee's life. What do you mean by personally interfere? What is indirect interference?
Indirect means Krishna deals with the living entity through his material energy.
你在这里说到的间接的这个介入啊，这指的就是 Krishna 他通过物质的能量，物质自然的这个能量来介入到一个人的生活。
And direct means he sends the devotees.
那亲自的这个介入就是说他就派来了他的奉献者。
And then even more direct, when you attend pure devotional service, then you deal with Krishna face to face.
那更加亲自的介入就是说当你成了一个纯粹的奉献者的时候， Krishna 就会和你面对面的在一起了，你亲自的见到了。
Well, Prabhupada explained, he comes in the form of the deities.
或者是就是以一个神像的形象出现，就像是Srila Prabhupada所解释的那样。
He comes in the form of the holy name.
他以这个圣名的形象出现。
He comes in the form of the Srimad Bhagavatam.
或者是以圣典薄伽瓦坛的形象。
So there are many ways to see Krishna face to face.
所以呢，你亲眼的见到这个 Krishna， 其实有各种各样的途径。
He comes in the form of Mahaprasadam.
他也会以 Mahaprasada 的这个形象出现。
So this is the great fortune of the devotees to be able to be directly in touch with Krishna.
所以对奉献者来说呢，这就是无比的幸运了，因为我们有各种各样的方式能够直接的和Krishna 接触。Would you like to explain a little bit more indirect interference through the material?
It means when you want to be independent, then okay, Krishna says you want to be on your own, deal with the material energy. I don't have to deal with you.
那么我刚才又请帕拉布进一步的介绍一下这个间接的通过物质能量的介入是指的是什么呢？那就是说，因为我们非常的有这种独立性，我们想我行我素，那么 Krishna 他就会说，那好啊，你要你的独立性。那么我就不用直接的来介入你的生活，直接跟你接触了，我就把这个物质能量派过来，让你卷入到这个物质能量和在这个物质世界里面去接触物质的能量。OK， 下一个问题来自于 Chandra Vilasini， David Dasi， 顶拜帕布，感恩帕布甜美的讲课，顶拜 Mataji， 感恩您甜美的翻译，请教您。您刚才讲到与奉献者的联谊就会唤醒内心的 Krishna 知觉，那家里的人工作上的同事天天与我联谊还没有唤醒他们的 Krishna 知觉是什么原因呢？什么才是在一起与奉献者联谊呢？谢谢您 Hare Krishna。 Thank you very much for your sweet class. thank the translator for her sweet translation. My question is, in the class you just mentioned that through the association with the devotees, one's Krishna consciousness dormant in the heart will be awakened. Now what about our family members, our colleagues in the office? What about those who associate with me all the time? Why their Krishna consciousness hasn't been awakened? What's the reason for that? What does that mean by associating with the devotees?
Very good question.
您的这个问题非常的好。
Okay, so you practice Krishna consciousness, and you go along with your spiritual duties every day.
你呢修习 Krishna 知觉，然后每天都去完成你的这个灵性上的职责。
Rupa Goswami says that a devotee should avoid associating with non-devotees.
Rupa Goswami 曾经说过这样的一句话，就是一个奉献者应当避免和非奉献者的接触。
Now, what he means by that is that we should not just lock ourselves in because we are surrounded by non-devotees, we don't want to see them. It means we don't absorb their consciousness.
那这句话的意思，不与非奉献者联谊的意思，并不是说我们就要把自己锁起来，然后什么人都不见，因为我们周边都是非奉献者呀。但这句话的意思，不与他们联谊的意思呢？就是说不要去吸收他们的这种非奉献者的物质的心态。
So those who are close to us like family members, they do get the benefit of the association as long as we are not absorbed in their consciousness, but we are always a good example to their eyes.
就是那些天天跟我们朝夕相处的家里人的确是从他们实际上呢是已经是获得了非常大的灵性上的这些益处了，只不过就是说前提上面我们不去吸收他们的世俗的一些知觉或者说意识，而是我们坚持在 Krishna 的知觉当中，成为一个以身作则的好榜样，这样他们就会受益。
In other words, to the extent that we practice Krishna consciousness, they get the benefit.
就是说我们修习 Krishna 的知觉有多么深入，他们就能在多大的程度上获得益处。
If we cook prasadam and they eat that prasadam, they make progress. If they hear the holy name in the house, they make progress. If they see pictures of Krishna, they make progress. In other words, we create their pious credit.
那换句话说就是说，如果说你每天去做这个 prasadam 供奉了，他们荣耀了 prasadam， 那他们就受益。如果说他们在家里面听到了圣灵的念诵或者唱诵，他们受益；他们看到 Krishna 的照片，那他们也就受益。换句话说就是，是我们创造了他们的虔诚活动、虔诚的工业。
So this is family and friends, for example.
那这个例子呢，可以是适用于你家里的人或者是你的朋友。
Now, when you go to the office and you don't show anything external in terms of your bhakti, people will think you're just a normal person.
那我们来说去上班，那你在这个工作中的这些同事在你的身上，他们是看不出这个bhakti 这个作为一个奉献者的一些迹象，因为你并没有表现出来。
Now, if you bring prasadam to the office, like cookies or fruit that you offer to Krishna, then again they will benefit.
那如果说呢，你能够把一些 prasadam， 比如说你做的这个小酥点心，供奉过的，或者是一些供奉过的水果，去和他们分享，那么他们就会受益。
Even if you put a picture of Krishna on your desk, every time somebody is going to go by your desk, they're going to see that picture. They will get some benefit.
那如果说可以的话，你在这个桌子上面放上 Krishna 的照片的话，那每次他们经过你的时候都会看到 Krishna， 他们也就受益了。
So to the degree that we expose ourselves, to that degree people get benefit.
所以说呢，就是这个是取决于我们。就是我们到底做多少呢，他们也会相应的受益多少。
This is why devotees go out chanting on the streets to create people's good fortune.
所以说这就是为什么奉献者们要到外面去唱诵主的这个圣名，其实就是为了那些不知不觉的人，给他们去创造他们的虔诚活动，创造他们的灵性的益处。
This is why devotees distribute books.
我们也是出于这样的一个原因去派书的，就是为了去创造人们的好运。
Prabhupada says if a person buys a book, like a Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam or whatever book that Prabhupada has written, they take that book home, that it's as good as installing a deity in their home.
Prabhupada 就亲自的说过这样的话，当一个人他们从奉献者当中接过了Srila Prabhupada的书籍，不管是《薄伽梵歌》还是《圣严波伽瓦坛》，他们买这个书带回去，那就好比是在这个家里面去设立了 Krishna 的神像一样，是没有分别的。
Sometimes devotees say, "Oh, we distribute millions of books, but we're not making many devotees. So what's the point?" This is a very, very big misunderstanding.
有的时候呢，奉献者就会提出这样的一个问题：你看，我们派了这个千千万万的书，但是出了几个奉献者呀？其实这是一个非常大的一个误解。
Even if the book sits on people's shelves for years and years and years, Krishna is there at some point. People will read the book and their spiritual life will begin.
就算是这个书被束之高阁很多很多年，但是呢，总会有一天Krishna 他会走进这个人的这个家的生活当中。他有一天他可能就会拿出这个书来，然后就开始阅读起来。总归是他在生命当中的某一时刻，他的这个好运就会开始的。
Prabhupada told the devotees, when you distribute books, don't spend more than 2 or 3 minutes.
他帕帕的说呢，就是跟奉献者说，你去派书的时候，跟别人不要讲话超过两三分钟。
He says, "What will your 10 or 20 minutes talk do when you have all the acharyas in those pages who can directly?"
你所派的这些书的字里行间都是 acharya 们，他们可以直接的和对方说话。既然如此，你为什么还要花上十几分钟？二十几分钟去滔滔不绝呢？
So there are many ways that we can give Krishna consciousness to others so they can benefit.
所以说呢，我们要让我们周围的人受益，其实是有很多的方式，很多的这个方法的，取决于你的行动。What is to associate with devotees? You have answered that question.What does that mean by associating with the devotees?
Associating with devotees means hearing from them.
与奉献者联谊呢，就是意味着去聆听奉献者的讲话。
There has to be some exchanges.
一定是有一些相互的这个交流的。
And these exchanges have to be favorable.
然后这些交流呢，应当是就是积极的、善意的。
That's associating with devotees.
这个叫做和奉献者的联谊。下一个问题是来自于 Hare Krishna， 奉献者会拿走我们的一切财富，有一些害怕，我要慎重考虑，毕竟信心没有那么强。You mentioned that Krishna will take away all our wealth. I'm a little bit afraid. I guess that I have to give a second thought. I have to consider deeply because my faith is not that strong.
That's a question.
Yes. That Krishna will take away all the fortune, all the wealth, and then I'm really afraid because I don't want all the wealth to go to disappear because my faith is not that strong yet.
Now,
Krishna, I have to reconsider.
No, Krishna will not do that to you. You can be safe about this.
首先你放心 ，Krishna 是不会这样对待你的，你会安全的。
Especially because your faith is not strong, Krishna will not touch your money. Don't worry about it.
特别是你的信心还没有那么强的时候 ，Krishna 他是不会动你的钱的。
And to have comfort, then make sure you keep your money.
如果说你需要 非常的安全有保障，那你要好。
You have to cultivate Krishna consciousness side by side.
但是与此同时这个就好像是一个平行轨道一样，你也必须要同时的去培养你的 Krishna 知觉。
So to have wealth is the reward of good past activities.
一个人他有一些财富有钱，那实际上是他前世的或者之前的那些虔诚活动所带来的很好的这个业报感应。
But wealth is a double-edged sword.
但是我们要知道，财富其实是双刃剑。
If you don't use it properly, it can destroy you.
如果你不去很好的运用这个财富的话，那可能你会被它毁灭。
So if you look after your wealth very nicely, no reason to take it away from you.
所以说，如果说呢，你又具备很好的 Krishna 知觉， Krishna 他没有理由把你的这些财富都带走。
So don't be worried about losing your wealth. Krishna will not take anything, but you should give something to Krishna.
就是所以你也不用财富的话， Krishna 是不会带走的，但是与此同时你必须要去休息 Krishna 知觉。
And don't cultivate greedy desires.
而且不要就是任那种贪婪的心生长出来。
You have to have your heart needs to be clean so you can make room for Krishna in your heart.
你的这个内心应当要非常的净化，就是把这个内心净化了之后，才会有 Krishna 的这个空间。So does that mean, 我补一句哈，我问一下 Prabhu, so does that mean that Krishna reciprocates with us according to our desire?
No, Krishna reciprocates with us according to the intensity of our devotion.
那我问那是不是说就是 Krishna 他是根据我们这个愿望来依此做出相应的回应呢？就是Prabhu 他回答说，这是根据于我们的奉献服务的这种愿望的强烈与否，Krishna相应的给予回应。
In other words, you can be extremely wealthy, but you can also be very detached from your wealth.
换句话说呢，你也可以是家财万贯，但是与此同时，你对这个财富没有丝毫的依附，这样的人是有的。
Wealth, by your wealth, you can be a multi-millionaire and be a very simple sadhu.
换句话说，就是说这个财富和一个人的 bhakti 呢，就是一个人的奉爱之心，并不是一定是成这个反比的，就是一个人他也可能是一个亿万富翁，但是他的内心非常的气绝，而且他可以是像一个沙度、一个苦行的僧人一样，他能够过得非常非常的简朴，充满着奉爱之心，这样的人也是有的，continuing with there's another question. Vara Dasvara Devidasi. 下面这个问题是感恩咕噜，请接受我谦卑的顶拜。纯粹奉献者的特征有哪一些？My question is, what are the symptoms of a pure devotee?
The symptoms of a pure devotee that there is absolutely no material attachment in the heart, no lamenting, no hankering.
那纯粹的奉献者就是内心当中是没有一丝一毫的物质欲望，他没有物质上的这个渴望，也没有物质上的痛苦。
And there are no other thoughts, no other action, no other motive but to please Krishna.
而且他内心当中只有一个唯一的一个愿望，就是去取悦 Krishna, 为 Krishna 做奉献服务。他没有其他的兴趣，没有其他的愿望，没有其他的动机，也没有其他的行动。这就是纯粹的奉献者。下一个问题来自于开心感恩顶拜帕布翻译主持人和所有的奉献者们，我们以前不管怎么努力容忍，但还是在 两年，我以前不管怎么努力容忍，但还是在两年前失去了一些，包括健康和女儿，甚至还负债，非常无助，命也差一点没了。但是那些我都能放下，唯一是对女儿非常的挂念，女儿被她的父亲带走了，跟他们在一起，女儿完全没有了 Krishna 知觉，我很担心，只能是祈祷。请问帕布对女儿的牵挂也是依附吗？我没有办法让自己不挂念女儿，不知如何是好。感恩帕布给一些建议。No matter how hard I tried, 2 years ago, I still lost everything, including my own health and my daughter, and I was even indebted. I even went into debt. So I was very hopeless. I even lost my own life.But although all these things happened to me, I feel that I could still be detached. The only thing that I am attached to is my daughter. I miss my daughter very much. My daughter was taken away by her father. I know that being with her father and that family, she would completely be deprived.Of the opportunity for Krishna consciousness. I'm very worried. The only thing I can do is to pray for her. So is it also a kind of attachment? I can't stop me from missing my daughter or thinking of my daughter, but is it also attachment? I don't know what to do. Could you please give me some advice?
Firstly, I am very sorry to hear about this situation.
首先我听到你现在的这个处境呢，我也是感到非常的难过。
Nobody would want to be in such a situation.
谁也不想被抛在这样的一个处境里。
Now, you have, as this lecture was all about, you have the great fortune to be engaged in Krishna consciousness.
那就像我刚才整个课堂当中所讲的这个中心一样。就是你现在其实是非常的幸运的，因为你有 Krishna 知觉，你有奉献服务。
And nothing can take away the pain of a mother to be separated from a child.
当一个母亲和她的孩子分离的时候，这样的这种心中的这种痛苦是什么都不可能消除的。
I don't know the circumstances behind all the situation that you find yourself in.
那我也不知道究竟这个一切是怎么发生的，到底是一些什么样的情况导致了你现在的处境。
But by practicing Krishna consciousness, you will find within your heart the ways to tolerate and to accept things as they are.
但是通过修习 Krishna 知觉，你一定是可以在你的心中。找到去容忍和面对你现在的困境的方法。
And if your heart has been crushed and broken by other people, you can be sure and guaranteed that Krishna will never crush your heart.
如果说有谁让你心碎，让你伤心，那你可以确信的一点就是 Krishna 是不会让你伤心的。
So praying is.Very, very good in terms of praying for your daughter.
所以说呢，就是你这个祈祷是非常的有帮助的，为你的女儿祈祷，这个很好。
But you have to try to mitigate this pain by being absorbed in chanting and reading and prasadam and association.
但是呢，你要让你自己的心更多的沉浸在那个念诵啊，还有这个阅读经典。荣耀普沙达和奉献者的联谊当中，通过这样的一种内心的这个投入，这种沉浸，那么你的内心的这种痛苦就会得到缓解。
We can't fix what happened in the past.
过去的已经过去，是没有办法弥补。
And we don't know what will happen in the future.
而且我们也不知道未来会发生些什么。
But we know now in the present what we can do.
但是我们知道当下我们可以做些什么。
So you have to find this in your heart. You have to pray to Krishna so he allows you not to feel that pain.
所以你要在心中向 Krishna 祈祷，祈求他能够帮助你，不让你如此痛苦。
But this is, you know, this is something that may take a long time.
但是这个可能就是要花很长的这个时间了。
Attachment to children is very, very strong.
So this is also attachment.
Of course, it's an attachment.
就是你对于一个父母，对于父母来说，对孩子的这种牵挂，这种依附是很强烈的。
I mean, a mother has every right to be attached to her children.
这个母亲有100%的理由去依附她的孩子。
If a mother is not attached to her children, then I don't know if she's a mother.
如果是母亲不依附、不依恋自己的孩子的话，我真不知道这算不算是一个母亲。
So definitely, the pain that you feel shows that you are truly a mother.
所以说呢，你的内心当中现在在痛苦，因为你牵挂你的女儿，这就说明了你是一个真正的好母亲。
But because for some reason you are not able to.Get your daughter back, then you have to turn your attention to Krishna.
但是如果是因为这个某种原因使你没有办法呢，让这个女儿再回到你的身边，那你就要让你的这个依附转向 Krishna.
So you have to be patient and you have to be humble.
所以呢，这个你得要更加的耐心，更加的要谦卑啊，接受。Okay. The next question is from Radhika Priya. 请问帕布爱自己和爱 Krishna 有什么样的关系啊 ？What's the relationship or connection between loving oneself and loving Krishna?
That's the question.
Yes.
Well.Loving yourself means loving your ego, loving everything about your mind, your body, and your senses.
就是爱你自己呢，就意味着爱你这个自我，这个假我，爱你的感官啊，心意啊，躯体啊，等等。
And loving Krishna means that you remove yourself, as I mentioned during in the class, you remove yourself from the center of attention, and you put your attention onto Krishna.
那这个爱 Krishna 呢，就像我刚才在课堂上所讲的一样，意味着就是你不再让自己去占据那个中心，而是把 Krishna 置于你生活的中心。
For example, a mother would rather neglect herself so she can give attention to the child.
就是说，对于一个母亲来说，她是宁愿去忽略自己，她也要去关注自己的孩子。去爱护自己的孩子。
A mother doesn't care the way she looks, the way she feels, as long as the child is taken care of nicely.
这个母亲她不会去在乎自己的外表怎么样，然后自己舒不舒服，她只要是能够照顾自己。
Can measure your love to Krishna to the extent.That you're not concerned too much about your own personal interest.
那你怎么去衡量你对这个 Krishna 的爱或者依附呢？就是你可以看看你自己是不是对自己个人的这个需求的这个兴趣减少了，就是不怎么关注自己，对自己个人不是太多的兴趣，但是你的兴趣转移到 Krishna 那里了，这就说明你有了这个 Krishna 主角。
Now, to loving Krishna doesn't mean that we have to neglect ourselves.
不过呢，就是去爱 Krishna 并不意味着你要忽略自己。
As a matter of fact, we have to be fit and healthy.
事实上，我们应当是非常的健康，一种非常健康的一种。身心的状态，这样才能够更好的去爱。
So we can give full attention to Krishna.
那因为当我们自己非常妥善的得到了这个照顾之后，我们就能够，就是全身心的放到 Krishna 那里。
That's why Prabhupada says health comes first.
所以帕帕他就是说健康是最重要的。
Chanting comes second.
然后念诵是第二位。
Service comes third.
这个服务是第三位。
And Reading comes forth.
然后是这个阅读啊、
so,
reading the third, I guess.
Four. Krishna in the center, but health comes first.
啊、这就意味着就是说就是你是要把这个 Krishna 放在你生活的中心，但与此同时，你的这个健康还是要放在第一位的。
Next question.
下一个问题来自于 Kirtananda Das。Kirtananda Devadasi 主 Krishna 以 Guru 的形象显现与我们联谊。Guru 与主无二无别，那主以奉献者显现形象显示与我们联谊。那怎么区别呢？稍等一下，我再看一下这个中文。哦，这里那个，再仔细的看一下那个中文，这里有没有漏字什么的哈 ？You mentioned that the Krishna in the form of Krishna and will appear in front of us in the form of Guru.And associate with us, and Guru and Krishna have no. Krishna appears in the form of devotees and association with us. I have asked them to clarify the Chinese. It's not that clear. 啊，这个问题，请主持人再帮我看一下哈。那个，我先回答下面一个问题。加 Krishna 梁谢奎。咕噜甚是门徒不要进入居士生活，如果门徒进入居士生活会摧毁自己的奉爱的小苗吗？Guru instructed the disciples not to enter Grihastha life. So does that mean if the disciple enters Grihastha life, his bhakti seed will be destroyed? The bhakti lata will be destroyed. Is that right or not?
Who is asking this question?
Jai Krishna. Yes.
So her spiritual master gave her instruction.
Maybe not her, some other devotees get a particular instruction. 就是我确认一下，这个并不是说你自己个人的例子，可能是哪一个奉献者，他的咕噜训示他不要做居士，对吧？OK.
Well, first of all, I don't know the circumstance for this instruction to be given.
首先呢，我就是这样的一个叙事，不知道是一个什么样的一个背景和原因，这个是我不清楚的。
And I don't know if the guru says don't enter marriage life for the rest of your life. I don't know that.
那我也不太清楚 ，guru 训示这个门徒是指的是。当前这个阶段不要进入居士生活，不要结婚呢？还是说，就是他这辈子都不要结婚了
？Now, for the guru to give such instruction, the guru must have a pretty good understanding of your situation and your personality.
那这个 guru 既然给予这样的一个门徒这样的一个训谕呢，说明，这个 guru 对这个门徒的当时的这个情况，他的生活的情况以及他的这个个性呢？有非常深入的了解。
Now, let's say that despite the guru's instruction, you want to go ahead and enter marriage life.
那我们来举个例子啊，比如说这个人他听了 guru 的这个训示之后呢，他还是没有听从，就还是结了婚。
Your devotional service is not destroyed.
那他的这个奉献，
that was the...
他的奉献服务也不见得就会被摧毁。
However,Because you did not follow the guru's instruction, you have to prove to the guru that you can even be more Krishna conscious.
但是呢，因为你没有去遵循聆听导师所给予你的训练，这个时候你就得要去证明，就是你在你的新的这个居士生活当中，你就具备了更好的 Krishna 直觉。
Because if you, and your marriage life becomes a disaster.Then you really destroy your devotional service.
因为如果说是因为你没有遵从灵性导师的训谕，然后执意的进入到这个婚姻当中，成为这个居士，但是最后这个居士生活也过得一败涂地。那如果在这种情况下呢，就是陷入了这种生活灾难了， 那你真的是一种真正的灾难了。
In other words, if I, despite my guru's instruction, if I still want to enter married life, can I guarantee that I will be very Krishna conscious in my marriage life? Can I guarantee that?
那换句话说，就是说，如果你选择了无视灵性导师所给予你的这个训谕的话，你是否能证你虽然进入了这个婚姻居士生活，但是你依然这个可以保证你的 Krishna 直觉。
If I can't guarantee it, my guru's instruction is valid.
那如果说我不能保证我还能很好的就是保持我的 Krishna 直觉的话，那就说明 guru 当时对你的这个训示是有效的。嗯 ，OK， 好 ，following the question from the previous one， 好是。就是开心，他解释说是因为我过去十多年身体不行了，然后我努力让自己恢复了，但是两年前又突然不行了，然后他父亲就带着女儿走了。谢谢 Prabhu。It is because for the past more than 10 years, problems. Although I tried my best to recover, but still 2 years ago, I suddenly came down with physical problems again. So, my husband took away the daughter and left me. Thank you.
Okay. Well, you have to look after your health. You have to be very healthy.
你得要好好的照顾自己的身体，保证你的身体的健康。
You have to look after this body. This body is a gift, so we can serve Krishna nicely.
这个身体呢是一份礼物，是 Krishna 所给予我们的，所以我们得要好好的。
And this body is also a gift from nature, so that we can be responsible in material life.
而且这个礼物也是物质自然所赐给我们的，所以呢，要好好的去学会这个责任，履行责任，就得照顾好它。
Yeah, look after your health.
所以呢，你要注意身体，下一个问题来自于大慈，如果和某个奉献者在一起，但彼此没有信任，没有多少交流，这样的联谊有意义吗？Doesn't give any mutual trust or exchanges. Is there any meaning for this kind of association?
This question comes up regularly in those classes.
就是我们在课堂上经常会被问到这样的问题。
If a person has 99% of if that person gives us 99% of reasons not to associate with them, find one reason that you should associate with them.
如果说你觉得有99%的理由不要跟这样的一个奉献者联谊，但是你要是还能找出那1%的这个理由和一个奉献者联谊，那就应该要联谊。
No one is that bad that we don't want to be with them.
没有这么糟糕的人吧，就是这么不可救药，以至于你完全没有理由和他联谊。I have to complete the previous question, which was not very clear.
Yeah, no, no.
前面那个问题是主 Krishna 以 Guru 形象显现与我们联谊， Guru 与主无二无别。那么主如果以奉献者形象显现，该怎么区别呢？So Krishna in the form of Gurus appears in front of us and associate with us. So that means there's no difference between Guru and Krishna.So if the guru appears in the form of a devotee and associates with us, how much difference is it from the appearance of a guru himself?
First of all, the guru is not Krishna.
首先我想指出的一点是 guru 他并不是 Krishna.
The guru represents the...instructions of Krishna.
就是说因为 Guru 他是代表了 Krishna 的训示。
And the Guru is empowered to give guidance to the disciple.
而且 Guru 的这个出现他是为了给他的门徒以一定的训示指导。
So all the disciples have gurus and all the disciples associate with each other.
所以呢，这个奉献者呢，他们都有自己的 guru， 而且这些奉献者们，他们也都会门徒哈，他们都会就是相互的就是联谊。
So as I mentioned, all the devotees are also our gurus to some degree.
所以所有的这些奉献者也是我们的 guru. I guess maybe I didn't clarify on it properly. So you see, the Lord appears.我再把这个问题再清楚地说一下 The Lord appears in the form of a devotee And another thing is the guru appears
Now the Lord does not appear in the form of a devotee The guru appears in the Krishna appears in the form of the guru
是这个 是这个 Krishna 他是以一个 guru 的这个形象显现就是 guru 代表着主
Otherwise, Krishna is in the heart of all living entities, and everyone is your guru, as we see in the 11th canto Srimad Bhagavatam. There are 11 gurus.
其实这个 24 gurus. Krishna, 这至尊主，他是在所有的这个生物体当中的。如果从这个意义上来说的话，所有的生物体都可以成为我们的 guru， 就好比是圣严伯加瓦坛的第十一篇当中所讲到的一样，就是有十一个，我们人有十一个。guru 啊，包括这个动物啊什么的。
So not everybody is a guru, and not everybody is a representation of Krishna. But everybody can teach us something.
就是并不是说所有的生物这些都是完全的代表着主的，但是我们身边的确这个是主是无处不在的，总是多多少少的能够给予我们一些指引，给予一些指导。
The spiritual master is our direct link to Krishna.
灵性导师是我们和 Krishna 之间的一种非常直接的一种连接。I think what she means is, so how do we guru?
How do you make the difference? I said the guru is not the supreme lord. I mean, it's clear.
Guru, 他并不是这个至尊主，这一点你要清楚。
Yes, but
as Prabhupada
says, the guru should be worshipped as good as God, but the guru is not God.
Prabhupada 他说呢，就是说我们崇拜 guru 要像崇拜至尊主一样，但是 guru 不等于至尊主，这个概念你一定要清楚。这可能就是因为刚才说的 guru 与主无二无别，你觉得 guru 可以等同于主，他只是 guru 是代表主。但是不等于 guru 就是主啊。
Okay, we'll talk more about this next week, all right? Because it's getting late now.
下周我们然后继续的来谈这个问题，因为今天我们有一些着急的事情要去做，所以只能是先停步在这里。
Okay, we'll stop here. Thank you very much, Sumukhi Radha Mataji.
感谢 Sumukhi Radha Mataji 的。
Thank you, Krishna Premi, for your translation.
感谢 Krishna Premi 的翻译。
Thank you to all the devotees for your excellent questions.
感谢所有奉献者的精彩的问题。
Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Kashadesh Yatra ki jai, Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol.
百昆塔之音服务源于聆听，亲爱的奉献者们，今天的永恒的其他两经就讲到这里结束。我们现在是在玛迦利拉中篇逍遥的第22章奉爱服务的程序，感谢大家的聆听，下周同一时间周三早上7点见 ，Hare Krishna。